and Postal Workers United?
Yeah, and there's a website, and there's a lot of information about that, and a lot of information about the kind of things that we've been talking about here, if people want to study it more. And if you call one of us, we'd be glad to have you join us at the next action. We're not sure where and when. We're looking at a lot of different possibilities, but we're in this struggle for the long haul.
Would you like to put out a contact number?
I'd be happy to have people contact me, John Schweibert. My number at the 18th Avenue Peace House is, 503-281-3697.
Thank you for your time, John.
You're so welcome. Yeah. Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye. For KBO News, I'm Jimmy Tardy. I've been speaking with John Schweibert of Communities and Postal Workers United.
Hey, KBOO supporters, we just sent you a card, so watch your mailbox. It's an opportunity to give a little more assistance at this time of year to your listener-sponsored, volunteer-powered community radio station. Yep, tax time. That means that your donation makes a difference. And it'll really make a difference for KBOO because you can help us qualify for Oregon Cultural Trust matching funds. You can get more information about this on our website at kboo.fm/year-end-gift-2013.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Radio Cab Turkey Project, a hunger relief program providing complete Christmas dinners to families struggling with food insecurity, seniors, the infirm, and those without transportation. Information on how to make donations at radiocabfoundation.org. This is KBOO Portland. It's 603.
Welcome to Out Loud. I'm your host tonight, Alan. I'm going to have a great show for you tonight on Out Loud. This is KBOO's Queer News and Culture Radio program. We're going to talk with Sasha Buchert about transgender law and developments in that. We're also going to have some folks from Portland's Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center. It's going to be a great show. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to Out Loud here on KBOO. I'm Alan, and I have with us Sasha Buchert. I'm sorry about that.
Sasha, it's been so long.
I know. Sasha, it is good to hear your voice.
It's so great to hear your voice. Thank you so much for having me on the radio.
Absolutely. Sasha is KBOO's, one of KBOO's most fabulous alumna. She was a host here on Out Loud for some years. And then took off for Oakland. Is that correct?
That's right. Hi, KBOO family. I miss you all.
tell us what you're doing in Oakland.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Alan. So nothing would have pulled me from Oregon except for this. I am a staff attorney at the Transgender Law Center. So I get to work with an amazing group of people doing groundbreaking work.
That's pretty cool. We talked a few months ago about transgender law and some developments, and you asked me if we could specifically talk today about AB 1266.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation. You know, that was a bill that was passed earlier this year through the California legislature, and essentially just restates what already exists in the law, but it was something that we needed to do because there were students in parts of the state that were still being denied access to sports and full activities and restrooms consistent with their gender identity, even though the law is really clear about allowing folks to access those areas, you know, based on their gender identity. There were still a lot of issues around that. So passed this School Success and Opportunities Act, which was AB 1266, and it was an amazing step forward and is in line with, you know, what's happening federally and in a lot of other states and a lot of other areas, you know, that folks are coming to realize this is a huge issue for transgender and gender nonconforming folks, you know, that allows them to bring them their full selves to the schools and to fully participate and access facilities and activities such as sports and phys ed. And the law just makes sure that schools understand their responsibility for the success and well-being of the students and make sure that the parents and students understand their rights. You know, we run into a lot of situations where folks are, you know, running into bladder issues because they're afraid to use the bathroom, you know, and students shouldn't be worried about that issue. They should be worried about, you know, their education. And so we're really excited about that. That goes into effect in January. And hopefully that will set the template for the rest of the country, as California law often does.
What's your perception of how the early implementation of this law looks like it's going to be handled? Does it seem like school districts are really getting ready?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of, it's kind of like making sausage, you know, which is really gross. I don't know why people keep using that metaphor. There's got to be a better one. Somebody from KBOO recommend one, something a little more vegetarian and earth-friendly. But, you know, it's just it's a process, and it's not, I don't believe there's any animus behind it, you know, and we've seen great strides with some school districts and others that are a little more resistant, you know, but we're confident that we'll be able to, you know, as an advocacy organization, and there's a lot of folks doing this work now, we'll be able to help those folks in implementing policies and move this law forward in a positive way. One thing to flag too is that, you know, again, this isn't something brand new. This actually has been a school district policy for the Los Angeles Unified School District, which is the largest school district in the country, and has had that policy for over 10 years without any issues or problems. So it's not something, we're not recreating the wheel, you know, we're just, you know, doing something, restating something that already exists and helping school districts implement it.
Interesting. And aid? What do outside organizations have to offer school districts that are looking to make these changes?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So the Transgender Law Center, in coalition with a lot of other organizations right now, are working on a number of materials, including a model policy, you know, for schools to adopt and implement. So that's, you know, one piece. The second piece is just the expertise, you know, of talking school districts through, you know, what it looks like when, you know, somebody comes out and identifies as transgender and what to expect and help deconstruct some of the myths around it. And so I think those two, you know, education and providing, you know, model policies and working with school districts closely and advocates and parents and teachers too. I think it's important to bring them into the conversation as well, because they're, you know, they've been huge supporters. The California Teachers Association, you know, the largest teachers organization in California, has been very supportive of the bill, and along with a lot of other, you know, organizations. So we're really excited about that.
That sounds great. And it is, and you're right, it is important to note that that when we're talking about school districts, we're really talking about people. We're talking about educators. We're talking about administrators.
And students and kids, you know, mm-hmm. kids that are vulnerable. And yeah, it's really, really, really tough for a trans kid. It's tough for a trans any person, in my opinion, you know, but especially for kids and youth, you know, it's a big struggle, I think, with, you know, the amount of bullying that takes place in any school. And then you throw on a gender identity component and, you know, you're just, you know, it's just a recipe for a lot of trouble. So, you know, hopefully this will help smooth that and allow kids to focus on success and their work.
It is exciting. It does not come as any surprise, of course, that there's pushback.
Yeah. The organization that's failed over and over again to try to deny the freedom to marry to loving and committed same-sex couples, the National Organization for Marriage, or NOM, has failed miserably in their attempts to do that. And so now they've targeted trans youth and our folks. And there's a referendum now that wants to repeal the bill, and that's still being counted. We're not sure how that's going to move forward yet. I mean, we're getting updates from the Secretary of State, there's a possibility that we might be facing a referendum on that same bill next year. You know, the impact, again, even if the bill were repealed, would just be that, you know, we'd still have to the law, as I said to begin with, is already there. The bill that we moved forward through the legislature just restates that law. So, nothing would change as far as the legal issues go and the legal rights of those trans youth, but it would just make life a lot harder for them in some of those, you know, more conservative and rural school districts that, you know, are more hesitant and unwilling to comply.
What do you think comes next?
Well, I think that, you know, I think just looking at the past is, you know, an indicator. You know, I think that it's going to be a whimper. I'm trying to think of the right metaphor, but it's going to be as it was with the LA Unified School District. It's going to be a lot of, you know, huffle, or what's that? I can't, words are failing me today. I'm so sorry, but, you know, it's just going to be what's happened with LA and San Francisco's Unified School District. Nothing. Basically, nothing happens next. It's just people come to realize that trans youth are just like anyone else, and they just want to, you know, access the activities and the bathrooms consistent with their gender identity so they can, mm-hmm. you know, focus on their schoolwork and succeed that way, as they have in L.A. and San Francisco and other school districts across the country that have implemented these kinds of policies. Yeah. So that's what I think will happen next. And then we'll work with school districts across the country to make sure that, you know, this is implemented.
Indeed, that sounds great. What else is the Transgender Law Project working on right now?
Oh my gosh, the Transgender Law Center is working on so many different issues. You know, it's just such a, you know, an exciting time to be working on transgender policy and you know, the, you know, every day there's it seems like there's a new victory, but, you know, we're definitely seeing, you know, great groundbreaking strides and movement on healthcare. We've seen a lot of private companies, insurers, decide that, you know, that healthcare exclusions are discriminatory. You know, there's no basis for them. They're based on outdated models of what it means to be transgender, and the American Medical Association and the American Psychiatric Association, even the Internal Revenue Service, have defined transition-related treatment and healthcare for trans folks as medically necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the other piece of it is the cost issue, which often comes up, and that's not a justifiable reason to deny access to healthcare either, because of a lot of different case studies that I don't want to bore your listeners with. But, you know, the cost has been, you know, found de minimis, you know, over and over and over. So that's not a justifiable reason to deny this, you know, medically necessary and life-saving healthcare, you know, for trans folks. In identity documents, we're seeing huge shift on, especially with the federal requirements, you know, for many years, for folks to have consistent identity documents as a transgender person, which is really important, obviously. It's an obvious statement, but when you think about it, you know, if you're whether you're talking about voting or you're talking about, you know, getting a job or getting shelter, there's so many different reasons that, you know, you need consistent identification. And for years, a lot of places had unjustifiable requirements that folks have invasive surgery to be able to obtain an accurate and consistent identity document, which is an enormous burden, especially when you consider the healthcare discrimination that trans folks face. So they end up having to pay for, you know, any treatments they might get out of pocket, not to mention the folks that can't have or don't want surgery, you know, for medical reasons. So we've seen a huge shift federally. The Social Security Administration announced this year that they were removing their surgery requirement, and they just followed suit from the Passport Agency, and even the Veterans Administration has removed those requirements. And I'm proud to say that Oregon has become, I think, the sixth or seventh state, maybe. I'm not sure. I'd have to fact check that, but to remove their surgery requirement for folks to obtain an amended birth certificate. So what that means now is just that instead of having to get surgery, they just need a letter from their physician saying they've had appropriate clinical treatment, you know, an affidavit that they submit to the Department of Vital Statistics rather than having to have some kind of surgery. So I know I'm talking really fast.
That's okay.
I'm going to slow down and just that we've seen, you know, huge breakthroughs, you know, on all ranges, but there's an enormous amount of work to be done. We're still seeing, you know, just hugely disproportionate discrimination affecting especially trans people of color and immigrant trans folks face, you know, brutal conditions in detention. And we need to do a lot more work around those issues and continue, you know, pressing the health care and the employment discrimination issues. But a lot of success and just a lot of great allies have shown so much support, you know, over the last few years, and just really excited about where we're at and where we're going.
That is wonderful. Do you have any last thoughts for us today?
No, I just hope everybody has a really wonderful holiday, and thanks so much for listening to Out Loud and to KABU, and thanks for all your support. Love Portland, love KABU, and just thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
I had one thing. I was just going to mention that if folks you know, are curious or need more information about transgender legal issues, I would just, you know, throw it out there that, you know, you can go to our helpline at transgenderlawcenter.org. /helpline and input your information, and somebody will contact you usually within 72 hours. So if you have a question, it doesn't have to be, you know, in a situation you're dealing with or struggling with individually, but if you have a question generally, feel free to use that. And we have great resources on our website as well.
Wonderful. Listen, we always have a seat we keep open at Out Loud for you, Sasha. So let us know when you're on your way back home.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. So we have a treat for you. So here it is. Thank you so much, Sasha. We're going to be back in a few minutes with folks from SMRC, Portland's Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center.
Yay, SMRC.
All right, here we go.
Awesome. Okay, thanks, Alan.
It's some Fleetwood Mac for you, Sasha.
Appreciate it. Love it.
I don't wanna know the reason.
Welcome back to Out Loud, KBOO's Queer News and Culture Radio Show. I'm Alan. I'm your host this evening. We have some folks here from SMRC, Portland's Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center. Before we start to chat with them, I'm going to make a few announcements of some community events that have caught my eye. One is tomorrow night, the Queer Feminist Reading Group that meets at, in other words, is reading a book by Samuel Delaney. Now, it's short notice, but if you can get a hold of EmpireStar/Babel17, or you've already read it, please go down to In Other Words and chat with the folks about it. Mr. Delaney is an amazing writer. He's gay. He's black. He's brilliant. His catalog is extensive and depthful. And he was just named a lifetime master by the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers of America. So that's the Queer Feminist Reading Group. You can find them on Facebook. Also coming up this weekend, the Queer Feminist Theory Reading Group that meets in Another Words, a different group that concentrates on queer and feminist theory. They're reading works by José Esteban Muñoz. He's a Chicano queer writer who actually just died. He was just 42 and just died a couple of weeks ago. So they decided to pick up his work and take a look at it. That's the 22nd, which I think is Saturday. At In Other Words. And the last thing I want to mention is the Queer Honky Tonk. DJ Action Slacks is going to be hosting this queer country dance party down at the world famous Kenton Club. That is January 4th. We've had DJ Action Slacks on the show just a few months ago. She's pretty fabulous. Her parties are fabulous. So go check that out, Queer Honky Tonk. So welcome, folks from SMRC. It is so good to have you here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So SMRC is Portland's Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center. And I'm going to invite each of you to tell our listeners who you are.
Okay. I'm Rihanna.
Hi. I'm Nola. I'm staff at SMRC. I'm the Youth and Young Adult Programs Manager at Q Center.
Hi. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Leo.
Wonderful. Now, let's talk a little bit about how each of you came to be involved in SMRC.
Sure. So this is Rihanna. I think for me, it first started against specifically some situations that occurred in my life and finding a place in a space to feel safe and comfortable. And from there, being able to build a foundation of advocacy for LGBTQ youth and the community and being able to be a support and to show confidence to individuals that I can reflect and see myself being part of as well. So,
This is Sammy, and I heard about SMRC through a friend in high school, and one day I just decided to check it out, and I didn't go too often for the first few years that I knew about it, but in the past year or so, I have started to go there more often, and I've become to enjoy the space a lot and really begin to connect with everybody, so it's become great.
I was involved with Right Around Portland in the past, and I wanted to be involved again, and they were doing a this is Leo, by the way. they were doing a workshop at SMRC, and I wanted to be involved in that, and that's how I was introduced to SMRC, and started with writing, and I ended up finding a community that I felt welcome in. I was able to grow and, you know, discover myself a bit more.
All right, thank you so much. So let's talk a bit about what SMRC is and what SMRC does. Nola, do you want to start?
Sure. Yeah, I can start, and then Leo is one of our youth who's been coming for a really, really long time, and they can tell a little bit more about that. So SMRC is the Sexual and Gender Minority Youth Resource Center. We are a program of Q Center. About 2 years ago, we came under Q Center after several years being with Cascadia Behavioral Healthcare, with which we still have a great partnership and offer free and low-cost counseling, as well as to clients who have Oregon Health Plan, which is a great support for many youth in our community who identify as LGBTQ, which is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning. So we have a drop-in center where there's lots of amazing things that happen. We also have counseling And then maybe Leo, you want to talk a little bit about like the drop-in center?
Yeah, the drop-in center is open every Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday from 4 to 9 p.m. Consistently. And it's just a place where youth can come in and hang out. They can eat or find resources if they need them. I go to really see friends and, you know, sort of de-stress from all the stressors of outside of Smirk. It's really awesome. And, it, you know, over the years, even though some things have changed, that sense of community is still there, and I love it, and it's why I still go.
Yeah, and also, we have some events that happen too. The second and fourth Fridays of the month are our performance nights. I don't know. Do one of y'all want to talk about what those look like? They're a lot of fun, but they're fun for me to watch, and I don't perform.
Sure. I mean, this is Rihanna, so I guess I could touch a little base on that. I mean, I've only been involved with Smirk for about 7, maybe 8 months. So, yeah, we have a drag night as well as an open mic night, and it's open to the community as well, and supporters to come and to enjoy the talent of youth of many different kind of diversity levels, whatever that may be. And I think it's just a great way to, I think in general, I think it's a great way for youth to come in and to share some talent that maybe is the first time for them to be able to share with people, or as a way of being able to find who you are. And I think that I myself, I find much joy doing it. I mean, I perform, so being able to go in and share such a cultural diverse of talent that I share is great, and to be able to just to see the beauty of other youth. So,
This is Leo. I like the performance nights because I'm able to read poetry that I write if I write it, or I could do some lip syncing performances, or I could sing, and I know that I'm going to be accepted by the audience and that I'm not going to be judged or criticized, and I'm able to just express myself, and I love it.
That sounds pretty wonderful. Now, it's my understanding that youth who come to Smirk are entirely welcome to participate in structuring Smirk's activities, and even I want to say help guide the work of the staff. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, this is Rihanna. I mean, I guess for my input, we have a specific staff like Nola herself and other people that come in and are assigned specific tasks. I think it's more of supervision and to be able to be supportive in whatever perspective that may be. And so with that, we have a steering committee that is ran every Wednesday of every week, again, at the drop-in center. And it's an opportunity for youth to come to bring ideas to the table of the rules and expectations that we have, or things they want to see happen, or maybe adjustments to some of the ways that Smirk is ran. And I think it's a great opportunity, and we just do it on a voting agreement kind of basis. And there's times that maybe we don't have an agreement or we don't have an answer, and so we just do follow-ups. And so being able to have youth, Smirk is a very youth-oriented running program, to be able to allow youth to practice many skills, to be able to bring what changes or what they want to see brought to the table as far as the program. And that could be things from maybe stability, or it could be things of more like entertainment and fun. It's just what can Smirk do to help youth reach the goals, or to find comfort in whatever situation they are looking for. So
I can also talk about maybe a little too of being like an adult in the space, is like, as Rihanna was talking about, is that steering committee is totally youth run. So to kind of give you a picture of what steering committee is that myself or another staff member or adult volunteers may be present, but we do not vote. We answer questions. If questions come up, we try to clarify. If somebody's like, hey, we want to do an event on next Friday night, is there anything going on? And that's my role, to say, hey, let me go look at the calendar, make sure. Okay, cool. Yeah, we don't have anything, let's do that. And then you tell us, youth, what you want to see happen on that Friday. We're there to be support. We're there to be cheerleaders. We're not mentors. We're not role models. We're not acting as parents. Any of these positions of authority, we're really there to just be supportive. We all have our lived experiences, and we all bring that into the space. But SMRC is a place for the youth really to, like, grow and shine and, you know, find themselves, figure out with each other, you know, how they're going to be in this world.
That sounds like a pretty amazing model. Leo, Nola said that you've been coming to SMRC for some time. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. This is Leo. I've been coming to SMRC since 2007. Like I said, I was introduced to it through a ride around Portland, and the location used to be on 20th and Belmont, and it was just a great space. It was different than anything that I had really experienced at the time. I'd really been very isolated in my home and didn't really have much of a sense of community. And when I went to SMRC, there were people going through similar struggles and experiences that I was going through with my sexuality and with my body and my gender. And, you know, it's changed a lot. The dynamic of the place has changed in ways, but it's still sort of the same. And it's changed locations a couple times. It's now on 24th and Sandy, and I think I like the new space. It's a bit smaller, but it's also a bit more, like, the layout of the space is more open than the Belmont space. Mm-hmm. I've always been able to go there, and no matter how I'm feeling, know that I'll be able to talk to people and feel better, or, you know, celebrate good stuff. And yeah.
That sounds pretty wonderful. Let's change tack a little bit for a moment. There's a couple of super exciting things coming up that are outside events, and one of them is just around the corner, and it marks a pretty big milestone for SMRC. Who would like to talk about that?
So this is Rihanna. I guess I could touch base on, so coming up on the December 28th is the 15-year SMRC anniversary party, to be able to celebrate successes and the spacing of the SMRC program. And again, I guess for myself, I haven't been with SMRC as long, but it is a privilege to be able to be on a committee, to be able to plan this event, and to be able to celebrate the youth and to celebrate the partnerships of individuals or companies or the Q Center. So I guess to talk a little bit more about, like, what's going to happen, the anniversary party will be on December 28th, which is a Saturday, from 5 to 9 p.m., and will be located at the Drop-In Center at 2450 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. Again, Northeast Sandy, on 24th. And in other words, if you want to look for the invitation or the flyer, go to our Facebook page, SMRC, S-M-Y-R-C, PDX. And we definitely have great things in store. We have some special guests from GSA Youth Choir that will be attending. We have Bolivia Carmichael, who is a large hit for CC Slaughters, who will be here to MC our beautiful show that will go on. And we have raffle, and we'll have lots and lots of amazing food and just interaction. And it is a time to celebrate, again, just SMRC. And there's going to be amazing, I think, amazing things that I'm just excited to be able to see, and the vibes and the beauty of people that may have been in the history or the past of SMRC that, you know, I've heard about but have not met. And just to be able to see where we are now, where we get to continue to go.
Sure. And the community's invited to come celebrate with SMRC.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yes.
15 years. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Just to give a little background, SMRC was founded and opened its doors. It had been in motion before the doors actually opened in 1998. There were two youth who are 14 and 17 years old who started SMRC with a $50,000 United Way grant. You know, that's, it's like 15 years kind of goes by in a flash, but it's like, wow, that happened. And like, we, you know, we're still growing and so many things are happening every year and all these amazing things are happening. So we want to make sure to say thank you to the community who has really, you know, wrapped us up in their arms for the past 15 years and make sure that we stayed open and we keep going and that youth find their way to us and to each other. So, yeah.
So everyone could come over and celebrate with SMRC folks.
Yeah, but we do ask that mm-hmm. folks let us know if you're coming okay. because we do, while we, Leo said, you know, we have a nice, pretty big space, but we do, we are a little limited and we would love to, you know, the good problem to have is to say, I'm sorry, we're really full, the party's too much, you know. We want to get to that point of, you know, having to say, wow, we're just like bursting at the seams of people. But we do ask, just we want to make sure we have enough food and we want to make sure everybody's comfortable. So, like Rihanna said, if you check out our Facebook page, it's SMRC PDX, S-M-Y-R-C PDX on Facebook. You'll see the event invitation. Please let us know there if you're coming, or feel free to give us a call at SMRC. The number is 503-872-9664.
Very sweet. Now, you mentioned SMRC is now affiliated with the Q Center.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you want to talk about that for a moment? What does that relationship involve?
Yeah, so it's been about 2 years ago that SMRC changed umbrella organizations. So Q Center is the only, that we know of, LGBTQ community center between San Francisco and Vancouver, BC, along the West Coast. It is a home for everyone. Though we, you know, SMRC has its special place as a space for youth and young adults who are ages 12 through 23. Q Center serves everybody in the community. There's some incredible programming that happens there as well, from like the Rainbow Babies group, which are just like the most adorable, like such cute little sweeties, whose families get together to support each other. To there's like, I think maybe 35 groups that meet that are affinity and support groups for a variety of reasons. Everybody's finding community there one way or another. To ERA, which is the Encouraging Respect for Aging group for our elders in the community, to make sure that they're also having space, having time with each other. I've you know, when I go into Q Center, I see them doing Tai Chi together and like amazing things, and I'm like, I want to join, this is cool, you know. You know, but so then our locations are separate. So Q Center is located at 4115 North Mississippi Avenue. It is in the historic Mississippi District. Whereas SMRC, we're a little further east over on Sandy, both nice big spaces. Certainly we invite the community to come check out either in both.
Wonderful. And talking a little bit further out, coming up is the Oregon Queer Youth Summit, is that correct?
Yeah.
And SMRC Youth are helping plan that, is that right?
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Sammy?
Yeah. So the Oregon Queer Youth Summit, also known as OCUS, is a one-day event that is just planned by youth and, you know, run by youth. We're currently in the process of planning it already, even though it usually happens around like late spring, so like May or early June. And basically, it's just a one-day event where we have a keynote speaker and a couple youth speakers, and we have a bunch of workshops that people can attend that are facilitated by youth. The workshops can run from, you know, basic like drag 101, or, you know, how to start your own GSA club, or how to be an ally. So the event's open for, you know, youth ages 12 to 24. Both LGBTQ identified and allies, so it's a lot of fun.
Do you know where that'll be held?
We still haven't figured out an exact location. Last year it was held at Jefferson High School, and in the previous years before that it was held at PSU. So, but we're still undecided about where exactly it's going to be.
So if anybody out in the community has a space big enough for 300 plus youth to come together and learn together and has space for like 24 workshops to happen that are all running together, we love to hear from you.
That sounds pretty amazing. Do you have a hint about who your keynote speaker might be? Have you identified that yet?
No, we haven't gone around to that quite yet.
Who has it been in the past?
Last year we had Sassafras Lowry, who is a author of I only know two of their books, is Roving Pack and Kicked Out. And yeah, they weren't actually there for the speech, that they came in via Skype cam, but it was still a really great experience. And they had a really great speech.
Yeah, I think a cool thing to note about Sassafras is that Z was a Smirk youth like 10 years ago. Mm. And in that time, you know, and talks about finding her voice there and performing and learning from so many other youth. And Roving Pack is kind of a little bit maybe about the experiences at Smirk. It's at a place called the Queer Youth Resource Center. It's Quirk versus Smirk. There's some things that sound kind of familiar. We certainly would love, you know, for folks to read this account of Sassafras's life, you know, experience. Well, something that might have been like Sassafras's life when Z was younger.
What was the title of that?
It's Roving Pack.
Roving Pack.
Yeah.
Great. Now, speaking of pronouns, which we just began to touch on, tell us how folks are able to communicate with each other at Smirk around chosen identified pronouns and other identity factors, let's call them. How does that work at Smirk among folks?
This is Leo. In the past, we had a board where we could write our old name and our new name and our preferred pronoun, and it was very visuals, and people paid attention to that. But what I've noticed in recent times, youth have been more like, what's your preferred pronoun in conversation? So when you're meeting with somebody, you could just know right away without, you know, and the board is still there. It's mm-hmm. just not as, you know, center of attention or, you know, really looked upon. We just kind of ask, we're comfortable enough to ask each other what our preferred pronouns are.
Is it your sense, Leo, that those conversations have become easier in the years that you've been involved with Smirk for folks to have?
Definitely. It's just sort of become second nature. When I'm meeting new people, I'll be like, hi, I'm Leo, and I prefer they pronouns. What's your name and pronoun? You know.
Wonderful.
I mean, this is Rihanna. I think that for myself, I'm similar to catching on to what Leo was saying. I think that for me, it kind of becomes part of my life, especially being an LGBTQ-identified individual. I think that being able to, there is a board, and again, it's not so visible for people to see as much. But I think it's become part of Smirk life and kind of more of a general way of respect, that anybody that comes to the Smirk spacing to be able to make sure that you include your, you know, preferred gender pronoun as well as the respect of asking. Because again, as an LGBTQ-identified individual, being able to pronounce a pronoun, you know, incorrectly can be a way of disrespect or offensive. So, I think that being able to communicate face-to-face with individuals is a lot more helpful. And I also think that it also helps build similarities to people, to be able to find friends or to find support with people that they can relate more to. So.
Yeah, and I realized earlier that I used a pronoun for Sassafras that folks might not be familiar with. So I want to clarify that a little bit. And Leo talked about that their pronoun is they, which is used as a neutral pronoun for folks who are not aware of people or maybe have not met someone yet who uses they as a pronoun. you know, you might be scratching your head and saying, well, hold on, my teacher in third grade told me that they is a plural pronoun. But if you look at the works of Shakespeare and Chaucer, years, hundreds of years ago, is they was used as a singular pronoun for someone. So it would be the same, they, them, theirs. Another pronoun that I used for Sassafras is the, here, hears, and that's also another neutral pronoun. Not used as much as I used to hear it. You know, in the last decade or so, but certainly is definitely still used. And we want to make sure that we validate each other and support each other and reflect, even if it's like, I don't understand what that pronoun is. It's like, well, give it a chance, like work it out, use it. The more you use it, I think the more that it will come sort of naturally out of your mouth, you know, and thinking when you associate that with someone. And certainly at SMIRC, one of our practices is like to honor if somebody says, I want to try on a new name because the name that I have doesn't fit me. It's not me. I want to find something else. And so that happens. And we want to make sure there's space for that. That happens. Certainly, we would love for SMIRC to not be the only place that that happens. But, you know, if you ever come to SMIRC as a youth or as an adult, you know, somebody may say, hey, actually, this is my name today or this is my name tomorrow. You know, and to think about that, that in your life every day, it's not just going to be at SMIRC that that happens. We certainly want to kind of spread that idea that we can figure out our identities as we're going, and we want to make sure that that's supported and we support each other in that. And the same thing with pronouns is that, you know, today I may use she, tomorrow I'm more comfortable with they, you know, and it's, so it's just thinking about that, that our identities can be fluid, they can be flexible, and, you know, we're all figuring ourselves out. And wouldn't it be awesome if we just like kind of gave each other the proverbial hug, you know, while we're doing that.
Very sweet. Sammy, do you want to?
Yeah, I think it's really great that, I don't know, for some reason, whenever I'm at SMIRC, you know, if someone, you know, is like changing like their names and their pronouns a lot, I think it's really great how people can just adjust to that so easily. It's just like, wow, you know, people are so good at that. And, you know, here I am still trying to get my parents to use the correct pronouns for me, whereas everyone is just very, like, bouncy, flexible with that and such. So I think that's really great. And also, I'd like to apologize earlier for using Sassafras as wrong pronouns. I knew that they weren't like they, but I was just like, my mind was going blank.
But I think it's a good lesson, Sammy, to like let people know if you don't know someone's pronoun, one of the best things to do is to use they.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to say, oh, he or she, like, you know, it's just to think about, use they when you don't know. And I, you know, that's cool too.
Very sweet. We have a lot to learn from each other, and also adults have a lot to learn from youth. So I'm glad that we get a chance to be having this conversation, and that folks get to listen in on it. I don't imagine that's the sort of thing that people can just drop in and be like, "Hey, I'm going to watch the youth at SMIRC." I did have the opportunity once. I went in and taught a dance class that. That Leo participated in a few years ago.
For Thrill the World, wasn't it?
Yes, we did the Thriller dance. So I did have the opportunity to see a little bit about how what it feels like to be at SMIRC and what folks were up to. I remember seeing a little barber salon shop. Is that right? Is that still part of SMIRC?
Yeah, ever since I've been coming to SMIRC, even as the locations change, there's still a place where youth can get their hair cut or dyed or bleached. Sometimes a staff will help with that, or other youth who are able to do that. Nola gave me a fabulous haircut a couple weeks ago, and I'm just absolutely in love with it. We get donations of hair dye and bleach every once in a while, and, you know, youth are able to just go through it and be like, I want to try this color on, and find somebody to help them with that. And as long as you clean up after yourself, it's free, and it's a lot, you know, I feel like it's a lot easier to have my hair cut or colored where I'm comfortable and, you know, and with people that I'm comfortable with than having to go to an actual salon and pay up the nose for it.
Indeed. And usually from a stranger, which makes sort of negotiating what it is that you want, especially if you're not entirely clear, a little more difficult. So I'm glad that's still there. What else is there? What else can people just come in to Smirk and start doing?
This is Rihanna. So yeah, I was actually going to touch base on that. I think that, again, Smirk is a safe space for a drop-in center for youth to come into. Again, LGBTQ. And I just have to say for myself that I think there are so many perspectives for me of if a youth is struggling with a safe space to go, or is struggling with lack of food or nutrition, or doesn't have a space to get supplies you need, like clothing or hygiene products, or just wants a way to be creative. And I think that Smirk has all those resources. Smirk provides an art room with numerous, very variety amounts of different types of art supplies, and is a way for youth to go in and to express themselves in whatever way that is. As well as we have a drag room, which is, again, for those that, again, you can just to have fun, to experience like Drag 101, and to be able to see what it's like to be a performer in drag, or just to have fun. We have costumes and makeup and wigs and accessories. That's really fun. We offer a free clothing kind of area. It's like a room, but it's in the open area. Of many donations that just, you know, people or companies kind of bring into, from varieties of different sweaters, shirts, undergarment, just whatever it is. And it's free to the youth to come and to take as many or whatever they need. In our restrooms, we have kind of a hygienic area. I mean, from deodorant to shampoos and conditioners and stuff that is free as well. And then we have a kitchen that's very open. We get many donations from different companies. And a lot of those donations can be very nutrition-oriented. And to be able to make sure that youth have food, whether that's after school or maybe don't have access to that right now. So it's free reign. Youth can come in and cook and to share some of their ingredients or their recipes, or just to eat, you know. We have a computer lab and a library. So the computer lab is just to be able to just access to internet. And then the library has a variety of different types of books, from anything from educated perspectives to more just fun and just want to enjoy yourself, as well as movies that youth can come in and check out. And we have our stage, again, that's just in the middle, and then our open space that has a pool table, and then the couches, and just tables for, you know, youth and volunteers and to adults to come and mingle. But yeah, I think for myself and from experience, that things that I've experienced in my life, some of the things that I lacked or hoped to see happen, I was able to gain from Smirk Space, and found a lot, like I think that like Nola had mentioned, that we are always finding out who we are and finding little pieces of who we want to become or who we want to identify ourselves as. And for me, Smirk, I've learned so much about myself, whether it's negative sides of trials, but the triumphs that I've learned from that, and being willing to get the support. And I think that one thing for Smirk is that if Nola or some of the other staff that work there are not able to have resources for us, it's always good to know that they have a resource that they can kind of direct us to get us support. And I think that's great. And I think that the connection of our community and the connection of sponsors and people to make donations is very helpful. So,
yeah, we also have, in addition to like some of the like more physical sides of the center that Rihanna was talking about, is that we do have a resource guide. We do lots of referrals for somebody's like, I'm looking for a job, or I want to finish my education. I dropped out of high school several years ago and I now want to finish it. Or, you know, I've finish high school and I think I kind of want to go on to something else, to housing. I'm looking for housing. It's a range of different things that everybody's looking for. And we try to answer that. Certainly we don't have all the answers to everything, but we do have a whole lot of names and phone numbers and knowledge of things in the community, to try to direct someone to one of those places. We also have a couple of support groups within our programming too. We have Gender Crash, which is a group for transgender gender nonconforming young people or people who are just even questioning gender identity is a safe space to talk with other youth, with an adult facilitator who's there, to just talk about like, hey, this is what's going on with me. What do y'all think about that? And to feel totally accepted and supported there. We also have a writing group. We have been starting up a peer support group. Peer support is incredibly important, because while as a staff, as an adult in the space, like one of the youth might come to me and be like, hey, here's this thing I'm struggling with. And I could be like, yeah, okay. I can't really meet you there with that. I don't know how to help you with that. But that youth may go find another youth, and that person says, yep, you know what? I totally went through the same thing last week, and let me tell you how I dealt with it. So it's really incredibly important. I think as adults, I think we take that for granted, is that we do that with each other and then expect that, like, oh, well, youth will just depend on me to come, you know, and that's not totally right either. We also have the Glamorous Tea, which is an activist and social group of folks who are, we're raising money to hopefully support and purchase things like chest binders, packers, gaffs, body shapers, things like that for trans youth, to feel a little bit, you know, at least hopefully a little bit more affirmed. Things like, you know, when folks transition, their gender, it may not just be about medical transition. Sometimes we immediately think about hormone therapy or surgeries, and that's not for everybody. That's not something that everybody wants. It may be, you know, in their journey, but it may not be. But in the meantime, there are different things that we can use to change the shapes of our bodies and in the way that we present ourselves to each other. And so we're trying to be supportive of that too, because a chest binder can be very expensive. And while we rely on donations from the community, a couple of youth got together and said, how do we support each other in this? How do we make sure that people have access to the things they need? So we have performances and we have bake sales and rummage sales, like just, you know, pretty much anything that, you know, people want to engage in. So we constantly have so much going on in the space, and just also lots of unstructured time for just people just to be and hang out, you know, and make friends and you know, all those fun things. I don't know. Throw glitter bombs and, you know.
Now, this is Rihanna. And I think that also with that note, I think that, I mean, I choose to take leadership roles of advocacy and supporting LGBTQ youth. And for me, it's always inspiring. And I envy other youth that I learn from and get to see have challenges or see issues that are occurring in our community and choose to, like, for example, as Nola mentioned, start a group like the Glamorous Tea or the QI Force or these different organizations of letting our voices be heard in whatever that conflict or issue is, and being able to make a difference and make a solution for that. And for me, being a leadership role that I choose to, you know, be part of, again, it's inspiring. It's inspiring to see the different range of youth and the knowledge and the creativity that comes and plays into that. So,
really quickly, how can folks in the community help? Smirk.
Looks like you all are looking at me.
What can we do? Yeah. What can we do from the outside?
Yeah, that's a huge question. Thank you for asking it.
Yeah.
This is Nola, by the way. There's a lot of ways. As you heard a lot of you talk about, we rely on donations. We do donations of things like food cards, $5 food cards to like Subway, just Safeway. We have a lot of youth who do not have income or have very little income, and we want to make sure everybody's eating. Bus tickets, just to get to and from Smirk. Seems kind of like a simple thing, but it's something we incredibly need. Other resources like that, certainly. Clothing donations. We'd also love your time. If you're an adult in the community who would love to be supportive of these incredible, amazing young people, we would love for you to come volunteer with us. So please get in touch with us if you're interested in that. Otherwise, just keep talking about us, and yeah, we'd love for the word to spread.
Yeah, spread the word.
Remind us again how folks can find Smirk.
Yeah, this is Rihanna. So just again, Smirk is located on 2450 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, and that's our drop-in center, as well as you can find us on Facebook at Smirk, S-M-Y-R-C, PDX, or visit our website.
And our phone number, one last time, is 503-872-9664.
Sweet, wonderful. Thanks so much, everybody, from Smirk, Leo, Sammy, Nola, And Rihanna, it's been great to have you. 50th anniversary coming up. Smirk's party will be on the 28th. Go down and find them. SMYRCPDX on Facebook. This has been Out Loud on KBOO. I'm Alan. It's been great to have you. And coming up is Hard Knock Radio. Thanks so much.
KBOO is seeking a station manager to lead our dynamic 45-year-old non-commercial radio station. Ideal candidates will have nonprofit management experience, the ability to thrive and work collaboratively in a decentralized organization, and the ability to delegate, plan, and organize people to meet goals and objectives. If this interests you, please go to kboo.fm/stationmanagerhire2013.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to help co-sponsor the Triangle production of American Fiesta, starring Gary Wayne Cash, a witty, hopeful tale of imperfection and acceptance. American Fiesta will take place at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. This Triangle production will run from November 29th through December 22nd. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 7:01. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Hard Knock Radio is next.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's history. It's history. Never been done before. Never been done in this before. Country. In this country.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Hard Knock Radio. Davey D hanging out with you this